Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in Washington. Tonight, etiquette.
Another word for it is just common courtesy. And I don't think that common courtesy should change, from Norway to Nigeria.
Etiquette is a French word meaning the customs or rules governing behavior regarded as a correct or acceptable in social life. And this is according to the dictionary.com. So, what is etiquette? Does it change and evolve over the years? Well, we'll find out tonight. As usual on Let's Talk, we'll explore this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned.
I might never be knight in shining armor. I might never be the one you take home to mother. And I might never be the one who brings.
Now it's time to welcome to our show my colleague Paul Ndiho.
Good to be back, man.
Thank you. And we have our intern in the house, Maisha Miller.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. And of course, our regular guest, Salem Solomon.
Great to be back.
All right. In this edition of Let's Talk, we'll be discussing etiquette. What about how are we supposed to behave at work or at school? Does it matter? Well, I spoke to my colleague Ayen Bior from the South Sudan service, and I wanted to know her take.
I don't think that etiquette should vary from country to country. I think that what etiquette really means, another word for it is just common courtesy. And I don't think that common courtesy should change, from Norway to Nigeria. I think that you should treat people, with the same courtesy that you expect to be treated with.
You shouldn't. Okay. Now, on the other hand, we have people saying that, if I'm from Africa, I am a man. I can always talk to another man, hold hands, come close. But if I go that and do in another country, let's say for America, it could be different and people might be not comfortable, And does that mean it evolves maybe with the places you are or with the times we live in, do you think?
Yeah, so I think that that is a really important point. And I think that what you're hinting at is really cultural norms. And yes, cultural norms definitely change from country to country. And so, for example, in my house, it is etiquette for us when we have a guest to sit them down and treat them, give them food. Whereas in my friend's house, my American friend's house, not so much. When I go to their house, they expect me to be comfortable enough in their own house to be able to get my own food and do what I want in their house. So in that sense, that definitely changes. But I think that what the real issue is that people need to realize that, my idea of etiquette might change, but it's still me trying to make sure that you're comfortable. And so what I really think about that is that, it's important to take a step back in those cases and say, are these people doing it to bother me, or are they doing it because this is what they know, and this is their lifestyle, and it has nothing to do with me. They're just simply trying to live their life, and in doing so, maybe I should take a step back and say, let me see why they do what they do.
And maybe also, as you say, learn from each other. Culture comes in with that and all those sorts of things. But of course, growing up in Africa and also growing up in America, you probably have learned a lot about etiquette every day.
I have. And I'm going to say the one thing that bothers me, and there's really only one thing, and that in my community, there are people who chew with their mouths open. Mm-hmm. Now, here in the United States, that's a big no-no. We don't do that. No one wants to see your food as it's being digested. But for my South Sudanese community, that's normal. And growing up, I've gotten yelled at. I've said, hey, do you mind, not chewing with your mouth open or not smacking? I've gotten yelled at for that. And there's really not much that I can do. If someone is set in their ways, I really just had to swallow my food and say, okay, this is how it is.
Thank you, Ayen Bior. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing etiquette. Well, the allied notion of civility referring to a desired social interaction, sometimes differ from country to country and continent to the continent. Well, in some places you'll find like people of the same gender holding hands, and in some places they need more of a personal space, and that doesn't happen so often. Well, I want to talk to you guys in the studio. First, I want to start with you, Paul Ndiho. Tell me, what do you think about etiquette in general? Does it matter, and does it change having a background from one continent to the next?
I think it changes. For me, I think etiquette is a relative term, depending on where you come from, depending on what culture you come from, depending on so many things. So that's why I said it's a relative term.
Okay.
But going by the definition that you gave earlier, I think it shouldn't matter really where you come from or what culture you come from. It should be, if it means washing hands before eating, it should be washing hands before eating.
Right. Okay. Well, Maisha, what do you think?
I mean, I would
Does it matter from the south of America to the northern part of America?
Yes. I mean, I feel like etiquette everywhere matters, no matter what country you're in. Obviously, it differs depending where you're located. But I feel like one of the most important things to do is to be aware of etiquette in whatever location you're in. So as we were talking about before, you know, even in America, it's just a difference in the way people interact. So like, and of course, these are just like generalized statements, mm-hmm. but, you know, in the South, people are more polite, you know. People, guys, gentlemen, like, they open the doors for women. It's more likely for a man to like stand and let a woman take his seat. Whereas from my experience in New York or just on the East Coast, even in DC, that's not as common. People are more to themselves. People have a lot going on. It's a lot busier. So I think it definitely is different. But again, to just like establish those differences and be aware so that you are always remaining respectful. That's very important.
That's the bottom line. Remain respectful. I believe, yes. I understand. That's great. And what do you think, my friend Salim Solomon?
I really like the point about respect. I mean, you know, even when people travel in other places, you know, foreign officers, for instance, here, the State Department has like a whole, you know, session about how they should behave, how people could. It's all about respect, you know, it's all about showing respect to other cultures. You know, the thing about etiquette is so it can make or break you. For instance, if you go to Japan, let's say, and if you take the position of a boss when you're having a meeting, you might not get that deal that you want or you've been working on for a while. This is a small gesture of mm-hmm. just not, you know, sitting where you're not supposed to sit.
Wow.
But, you know, there's no... It's not monolithic. Just because, for instance, when we say you're from Africa, so there's supposed to be like one sort of shared etiquette for this culture or that culture, is very misunderstanding of what etiquette is about. There are pros and cons to
mm-hmm.
etiquette.
Okay. Pros and cons to everything. Okay. Hold it right there. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Africa Service of the Voice of America.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic, etc.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time,
with David Bandy.
This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-hearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shamari, in our Washington studio with Paul, Maisha, and Salim. Right now, we are discussing etiquette. Well, etiquette was mentioned as an important weapon for social advancement. And this was said by Philip Stanhope, the fourth Earl of Chesterfield, in 1774, while he was writing a letter to his son. Anyway, I spoke to Van Roy, and I wanted to know what is his take.
It does vary from culture to culture, in that from my culture, British culture, it's a bit stronger and more appreciated, I would say, than in the American culture.
Why do you think
there's
so?
Certain, well, I can't say why it happened, but it happens because, for example, the opening of the door and the four women and pulling out the chair at a restaurant for a woman. And these things don't happen like they used to, and especially in the younger generation. When I go to a restaurant with my wife, I've noticed that the younger guys, they don't do it at all. They just grab a seat, and they're done.
The millennials.
the millennials are just like, hey, sit if you want to sit. And okay. I wouldn't dare say that it has anything to do with women's rights or whether it's wanting to have women exert themselves more in society. I don't think that doing those things diminish women's rights in any way.
Okay.
I mean, it's just something that is polite to show more of an appreciation of someone.
Right.
And I do believe that women ought to still be appreciated.
Oh yeah, definitely.
No matter their social status or their economic status even, because you may still see some of this happening. Like when you go to the shows, like your banquets, or more the, I would not dare say upper class, that would not be cool.
Okay.
But the more sophisticated events, you would find that the gentleman would open the door. But other than these events, it's almost gone in the American society.
And this is the other thing also. I was wondering if, as you mentioned, that is it because maybe from over the years, this has been, I mean, for a long time we have etiquette since the beginning of times. Is this thing is going to be changing? Is going to be evolving over the years, maybe?
Has evolved. And I would also say that it will absolutely continue to evolve. Because if now you look at the millennials, what will happen in the next generation? If they're not doing it now, who's going to teach their children? The attitude that they display as millennials, those attitudes will just be further away from, I mean, the next generation following them, their attitude will be further away from the chivalry that exists in, I would say, my generation.
Thank you, Van Roy. Tonight on Let's Talk, we are discussing etiquette. And back to the studio. Back to you, Paul. Tell me something. You said something that Maisha also said, which was close, that it doesn't really matter, but of course in some places things do change. From Africa we can see, or you can see, like men holding hands, just friends, and it's okay. But in some places cannot do that because people like to have their own personal space. So this means what? And to you, as a person, if you travel, what do we need to be looking at as far as etiquette goes?
Yeah, you know, there's this old saying that goes that when you go to Rome,
the
Romans do. So I think when you travel a lot and you go to different places, obviously the first thing that comes into mind is you have to observe whatever is it that they do so that you are not maybe held in contempt of certain cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to be aware of what's going on with the kind of people that you're interacting with so that you don't end up in trouble. But that said, I also think that it should be a personal thing. It should be a choice that you choose to make. If, let's say, for example, you don't want to shake hands, you like to hug, it should be a personal thing rather than following what everybody else is doing.
Like in French, you go, you find people, they say French kiss, or they say that when they greet, they do three times. One cheek, second cheek, and again, the third cheek again.
I would get tired. I would get tired. And then I'd be like, I don't know how I would feel about having like all these people kissing on my cheek.
And you might have, yeah.
They say it brings good luck.
Exactly, right?
But the thing is, you might have awkward moments as well because you don't know how many times, how it's supposed to be, or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think I would just be overwhelmed and then like thinking about germs. Yeah.
So, But you see, that's why I said you have to really observe the people around you, what is it that they do.
Right.
Because in most cases, we sort of like tend to read from the same script most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you divert or get out of that norm, you tend to look weird.
Right.
So especially like for the French, they like doing things a certain way.
Right.
So if you're in France and you're doing things the American way, everybody is going to know that, oh, this guy is a visitor. Mm. This guy is not a Frenchman,
yeah,
a Frenchwoman.
You can stand up for being an outsider. That's a very good point.
Right.
But also, you know, there's a lot of literature about any culture that by now, especially we're in the 21st century, even like nuances are documented. So if you're traveling to a new place, I mean, do the least you could do is just, you know, read about what these little nuances mean. Because there are, in terms of etiquette, there are linguistic etiquettes that also you might step on people's toes without knowing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You might ask how old a woman is, for instance, and you might find yourself in an awkward situation.
Oh, yeah,
or like in America, you don't ask a woman how old they are.
Yeah, exactly. But these things are, unless explained to you, if you come from a culture, or if you go to Italy and people, like, you know, break wind in a public space, that could be normal, or burp in a public space, it could be normal, but not normal here.
Right.
How about eating in Africa when we go to a certain place and we're eating like ugali?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, or injera.
Shared.
You bring your fork and knife here?
Eating is an event that brings people together. So it's only in America where people try to do the one plate, you know. But in Africa, in most places, eating is a communal thing. You all eat together. They put food on the table. You all sit around and, you know, serve each other or eat from the same plate.
Using your hands.
Unless they're in Asia and other parts of the world, too.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to say, because I traveled to Uganda, and that was a surprise for me to see people eating with their hands.
Wow.
And I tried it, but I think I'm just not used to it. And so, I traveled to Uganda while I was abroad and studying abroad in London. And so, of course, I had gone to, like, all these other countries. So to be from America where, you know, we eat with our hands only when it's finger food. And then to be in a city like Paris, where when they see you eating, it's like frowned upon to see you eating with your hands all together. Like, even finger food, they eat with silverware.
Yeah.
And then going to Uganda and seeing like almost everything eating with hands, that was a cultural shock for me.
Right.
But I wanted to mention earlier that, like, for example, I went to like this British school in high school. And everything had to be proper. We were in, like, structured. Everything had to be done a certain way. There was a certain way you had to wear your uniform, you had to wear your shoes. Everything had to be, you know, done a certain way. So if you went out of that and did what you think was right, you expelled from school.
Wow.
So those were, like, very, very strict. But, again, it should be something that, for me, it should be something that allows you to express yourself when it comes to etiquette. Okay, are you going to sit with people, everybody has washed their hands, and you just come without washing your hands and sit on the same table and share the same food? Probably not, you know? You should look at what's going on around you and maybe use that example.
And what he said about, like, you know, being expelled because you're not wearing a proper
uniform
or
the
decorum. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, every institution might have their own. I mean, we as journalists might get away with a lot of with what we wear here, it's okay. But, you know, some offices have their own decorum and things like that. But beyond that, the earlier pros and cons that I was thinking about was that sometimes in societies, etiquette could be used to look down upon a certain group of society as well.
Yep.
And so if you're dressed a certain way, if you ask questions a certain way, if you talk a certain way, you know, there are classist thoughts that categorize you from maybe economically marginalized communities. And if you sound a certain way, you know, these are serious consequences. Absolutely. Like what you mentioned, you know, someone being expelled from school or not being able to get a job. And so when you think about etiquette from like a higher level of how society has created these divisions, it becomes a serious conversation.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a great point. A couple months ago, I went to a restaurant downtown here in DC. I mean, it's like a high-end restaurant and nobody told me I was supposed to meet somebody there. And I get that you had to wear a jacket. I'm a casual guy. I don't wear like jackets, you know. Occasionally I wear sports jackets, but on that day, for some reason, I didn't wear a sports jacket. And they refused me to enter the restaurant because I was not dressed appropriately for
that particular restaurant. You can't get in.
So, yeah, but the one thing I like about etiquette is structure. It really puts you in a certain kind of setting. So even the way you do things, the way you think, the way you look at the world kind of changes if you apply those rules.
So that will help you finally to become who you are at some point or shape you to a certain gentleman maybe or somebody. As this king was writing to his son, that you would, it would be like a weapon of social advancement. Is that something you think?
I don't know. I'm a simple person. I think these are all social constructs. It's like trying to create division between people. That's how I see it. Like if you were, I don't know, maybe I tend to look at people just not because I wouldn't judge you because you sound differently or you have like some sort of gesture or like the way you express yourself, and then you have more, I don't know, knowledge about something or you are a certain way. I think these are social constructs that were built to divide. I don't know. Maybe that's my point of view.
You could be. And hold it right then. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17:30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. We'll be back.
Un homme peut être amoureux comme un fou, mais non pas comme un sot. Je t'aime. Mama ozawa pobondele langa bolingo nanga fanimbilo motema kilo bravo na sali lokala ngunga ya zonuka bena makila na ebende fanina lingia se bisimba za sala motema nanga kamundele o aleli singa olokola ayo ba pimele bibero e
wili bombito
nga ye ye.
Welcome back. This is Let's Talk, a program of the Africa Service of the Voice of America. Well, Paul, you wanted to say something about it.
What I was going to say is that sometimes it's very unnecessary. Like at home, you sat on a table. Every meal you had to sit on a table. You have a knife, you have a fork. Sometimes I don't need to use a knife. Right? But because you have to observe a certain etiquette when you're at the table, then you're compliant to do that. So sometimes, for me personally, I think it's unnecessary.
And do you think it's unnecessary?
Well, I think that there's a time and a place for everything.
Okay.
Like me personally, when I'm at work, I take what I do very serious. I never want to be kind of like, I always want to be taken serious, you know? And so I make it my duty to make sure that I dress professional wherever I go, you know what I'm saying? Well, whenever I'm at work. You know, and just like when I'm with friends, it's different of how I would speak to people while I'm at work because, you know, I'm more comfortable with my friends. Like, we just have, like, a different relationship. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm more so willing to, like, speak slang with them and stuff. And it's fine because they're my friends. friends. So I, like I said, I think that it's definitely a time and a place for everything. Mm. But I definitely see what you're saying in terms of like these social constructs. It's like, who made these rules and why do we have to follow them? I don't know, but it's just like the way of life.
I couldn't agree more. We should ask, who made these rules? And the thing is, this is a very important question she's raising. Mm. Who really made these rules? Because some etiquettes, they are not fair for a certain group of society.
Certain people are disadvantaged.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that's why I thought, okay, maybe, you know, if you're looking at it from like a lighter perspective,
right,
you could say, okay, so what if two guys are holding hands and just walking in the street in the middle of, I don't know, somewhere in East Africa. People look at them and say, hey, what's up, whatever, touchy feely, and then everything is good. But then here, all of a sudden, their sexual orientation is looked at differently, mm-hmm. that they're not supposed, you know, you can never tell someone's sexual orientation by just because they're holding hands. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. But the thing is, it's like this thing that these preconceived notions that we have about people, because you speak a certain way, that you have this kind of thought about the world, your worldview should be categorized this way, or you should be, you didn't have enough education, or you are from a certain, you know, community that didn't have any privilege. You know, it's just we do this to ourselves.
And does it mean because of that, since this has been there for years and years, does that mean etiquette has evolved and changed?
Of course, yeah. I think with time, like anything else, it changes. Change is the only constant here. So things change, the way people behave, it changes all the time. So I think what our grandparents observed maybe during their time is completely different from what we look at as etiquette or respect or observe as the norm today.
So for that matter, do you think, Maisha, maybe our sons and grandsons will have a different etiquette altogether?
I'm sure. I mean, you know, because me as a millennial, what many would consider as a millennial.
Exactly.
It's very interesting of what I hear, like my great-grandparents or my grandparents talk about, you know, from the civil rights movement to the women's suffrage movement, you know. It's a lot of opportunities and privileges that I've been able to have that my grandparents
did not.
Did not. And so I would not be surprised, especially with technology continuously evolving. Like, I can't imagine what my kids and grandchildren, oh my God, I don't even want to think about that. But I can't imagine like what they would be doing, or what, I feel like culture is always changing.
Yeah. Culture is progressive. Yes.
Definitely. Absolutely. You know, even sometimes they would say, oh, it's not ladylike, or you're not supposed to speak or act this way, or
supposed to be.
That's what I meant by earlier when I said, you know, certain communities are at the bad receiving end of these etiquettes. You know, oh, you're supposed to be standing this way or be quiet when people are speaking.
Oh, you're supposed to walk this way. You know what? You should walk that way.
Excuse me. I have something to say.
No. And I definitely want to add to that, because me, as a youth, I was what many would consider as, like, I guess, at risk. I don't know. I was just not in a position where I had, like, the nicest clothes or, you know, like, I wasn't going, like, living in the suburbs. My parents weren't, like, filthy rich. Mm. And so I honestly could say that, first and foremost, like, I'm extremely blessed because of, you know, mentors and people who've came into my life to help me sort of like evolve into this young woman, you know, who has all the morals and ethics that I do have. But I will say that it's like, when you know better, you do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's a good point.
That's a very good point.
I remember one time I was in a journalism class. It wasn't until I came to this country that I found out that, oh, I can challenge my teacher, I can challenge my professor, because back home you challenge a teacher or a professor, you're done. They expel you. So that exposure, I remember one called Dr. Smith, I challenged me, said, you know what, how are you going to be a journalist if you can't challenge me?
And thanks, and that's it for show on Etiquette. Big thank you to our guests.
And in studio, Paul Ndiho, thank you for coming in.
Great being on your show.
All right, thank you. And Maisha, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Salim.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, and Jackson Mbungani is our producer.
Send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942. After the viewer announcement, leave us a message. That's 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in. Join us again next Monday at 1730 UTC for the exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week will be flight attendants. Can one be too old to become one? Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for our discussion program, Health Chat. Host Lino Madu and her guest physician discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on the Africa service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.